commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
God says, touch not my anointed. He'll get after you for messing with one of his, especially one of his preachers. No, he will. You are the apple of his eye. And it don't mean you always have it all together. See, that's where folk mess up. They think, see, that's righteousness by performance. But see, when you're moving in faith, let me tell you something about the saints that don't have it all together. Eventually, they will have it all together. Eventually, they will get it all together. Because they're moving in faith, and guess what? Grace is coming into their life. Grace is coming into their life. You see them one day, and then you see them the next day. All of a sudden, everything's changed. That's why you can never count them out. Get them in the corner. They'll get out the corner. It's not by works of righteousness. It's by your faith in him. God called Abraham when he was messed up, and he kept messing up. But I said this the other day. God said he calls those things that are not as though they were. He was talking about Abraham. He called Abraham when he was all messed up and was continuing to mess up. But God called him righteous. And it says Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he became the father of our faith, not by works of righteousness that he had done, but by his faith. It released God's grace. Morality, character, and actions, they are produced, but they are only fruit of our faith. They are not righteousness in themselves. Again, you can take a sinner who will curse God, and they'll do right things. They can be moral. They want to save the whales. You know, they want to do all this stuff. They won't kill a mosquito. They'll do all this nice stuff, but it's not righteous. Do you understand? How many understand? That's a fruit. But if the root is not faith in the righteousness of Christ, it's just performance. And it's filthy rags. It's of no value to God. And that's one of the biggest distractions and hindrances to faith, humanism. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish. You hear people talk about God. They never say Jesus, though. Amen. And Jesus is the doorway. Amen. He's the only way. Amen. All right. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's start at verse 4 there. Paul, talking about himself and his credentials, his history, his walk, his life. Before Christ, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, in other words, in performance. Paul, how many know Paul was extreme? As far as the law was concerned, Paul was blameless. Not perfect, but blameless. He carried it out to the T. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, there's one credential. Of the tribe of Benjamin, the first king of Israel came from the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul was part of the Sanhedrin. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So Paul said, if anybody can glory in what they did, in their performance, it's me. I had it going on. I was there. I was the number one guy. He was. He got letters from all those in authority. The first martyr, Stephen, when they took their coats off to stone him, they laid him at the feet of a young man named Saul, who was giving consent to his death. So Paul was active in the church. Huh? He's just active the wrong way. His zeal, I mean, persecuting the church. See, Christianity back then was called, it was labeled the way. That's what it was called. And Paul was out to kill everybody that identified with the way. There were many cults that rose during that time. And in the book of Acts, you hear Gamaliel saying, if this thing be of God, he said, let it alone. If it be of God, you'll find yourself fighting against God. But if it be of man, then it'll be destroyed itself. Paul was fighting against the way because they were so staunch on works righteousness. Paul said, is that verse 6? Get me the next verse. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Next verse. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul, when he got understanding, counted all his credentials, all his doctorates, all his Bible, plaques, Bible school plaques, all his school of stature certificates. that you brag on, He counted them all dung. You know what that is, right? We wanted to let it get graphic. But he counted it all dung. He didn't want, in other words, he counted it dung because Paul didn't want to relate to God based on his personal accomplishments and moral standards. He didn't want to relate to God on his personal accomplishments or his moral standards, what he had accomplished. How much of that do we see today? How much ceremony and pomp do we see in the so-called church, the church in Rome, all the ceremony? I remember going to Israel and visiting some of these churches, big, huge cathedrals, and they would go through the ceremony and they'd burn the incense and all these different things, and they'd have a certain garb that they wore, and it was real sanctimonious and real pious, and that's where their righteousness came from their performance. But in many of those, and I'm not saying that some of them folk couldn't be saved, but in most of them places, it was dead like a doornail. Presence of God wasn't nowhere in sight because it was just a museum of people going through religious stuff. See, Jesus was the end of that. One of the things the Lord doesn't want you to be is religious. I said the other day, you don't have to pray in the King James unless you just want to. You don't have to, you have to approach God. No, we have boldness to come to the throne. We're his children. He wants you to be the best you can be and not try to be something you're not. Paul wanted to relate to God in faith righteousness, which is righteousness that is by faith. Look at verse 10. He said that I may know him. Go back to verse 9 for me. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, or by performance, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Somebody say, by faith.
By faith.
Say it one more time, by faith.
By faith.
Say it one time for the Holy Ghost.
By faith.
See, the righteousness of God is by faith. You put your faith in the finished work. We'll get into this later on in this series, but do you understand that everything you'll ever need is already here? Every provision that you will ever need from here until Jesus comes for you is already here. A lot of times we pray and, you sometimes in your mind, you take a trip, right? Come on. You see people praying, look it up. Well, the kingdom is inside you. I mean, literally, the kingdom came without observation. And it's in you. That grace is in you. And it's longing to burst out of you. But it will burst out of you. We access the grace through faith. Whenever you believe God, you release that faith for whatever provision. And see, this is the best life because God has already provided for every provision, everything you'll need. My God shall supply my every need. Is that the word?
Yes.
I see something. I feel you. Because your mind is very conditioned. You know, you struggle with that. You know, you kind of struggle with that. You know, God going to provide my every need. Well, brother, you don't know what I need. Like God didn't know 100 years ago what you would need today. Amen. Like God has to, you know, like heaven is in a panic trying to make a way for you. Here's an interesting thought. And again, I'm ahead of myself, but I've been studying this and I'm getting so many nuggets. But you know, the Lord said this. He said, if two of you on earth should touch and agree, and I'm just paraphrasing, he said, you shall have whatever you ask. Is that right? Whatever you agree upon. Well, in the original Greek, mother, the word you is not there. It says, if two on earth will touch and agree. It's not, in other words, it takes the human part out. What is he talking about? How many know there's a distinction between your spirit and your heart? Your spirit has everything that God has ever provided. The Holy Spirit is there. The provision is there. The grace is there. But your heart, if your heart agrees with your spirit, he said, if two touch and agree on earth, it shall be done unto them what's in heaven. Again, I'm ahead of myself a little bit, but our mouth plays a part, because with the mouth, confession is made unto sozo. So you have, you know, it's important that we just allow ourselves to be aligned with God's view. Our spirit already is. We need to get our heart right before God and then speak what God says. Amen. Then you got an unbeatable combination right there. It will manifest the kingdom. Okay, where are we? Verse 10. Give me verse 10 now. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me pause there for a moment. Go back a couple of verses to verse 11. If by any means I might attain. I want you to take note of that word attain. Do a study on it. Look it up in the Greek. The word attain does not mean that you have to try to get something. Attain means that you are walking in a manner that things overtake you. You're just walking in a path that all these things are in that path. It said that I might attain. See, sometimes we think that Paul was struggling and striving to get. No, he was. What he was laboring to do was to stay in that place of rest, in that path of righteousness, which is righteousness by faith, and not get into the works thing. I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, if he stayed in that path of death to self, then the resurrection life, the grace, God's ability would manifest in his life.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in Mega Grace.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us tonight at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our services begin at 7:30 p.m. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you. Thank you.